the Giants were not playing the Cardinals. They were playing the Tigers.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense because I thought about it after, and the Cardinals and the Giants are in the same division.
Yeah.
They're both a National League team.
I thought what we were saying was you were explaining to me that you thought the Cardinals were a team that everyone in the country could be interested in watching, like the Yankees. Like if they were still in it, then people would be interested in watching.
Cardinals are another one of those teams.
Also, maybe the Giants played the Cardinals to get into the World Series. That could be.
I mean, that could be.
That's something that's possible. So anyway, there.
I think what we need to come away from this is, reconfirming to everyone that sports is not our forte.
Yeah.
We're good at a lot of things.
I think
sports is not one of them.
Maybe what we should do is start recording and just leaving spaces anytime we refer to a team name, and then we can just go back in and dub the right team.
And check it out.
It'll be like that Simpsons episode where they were doing an episode about the Super Bowl. But obviously they make them months in advance, so anytime the characters say anything, say any team name, they hold a beer mug in front of their mouth so that their mouth doesn't have to be synced. And then... this is in the late 90s, and
this
like
is so good.
The joke isn't super obvious because you maybe don't know why they're doing that, but if you do know why they're doing it, there's a joke towards the end where they're talking about Clinton, and a guy holds a beer mug, and it's like, Clinton and his wife, and then he holds a beer mug up, Hillary, and it's like...
That's so good. Bill Clinton was in St. Cloud.
Yeah.
Speaking of him.
Yeah.
We're
going to be releasing this episode on Election Day, and Bill Clinton was speaking just a few days before the election, which is pretty cool.
In the college I go to, St. Cloud State, he was there speaking on behalf of Barack Obama and some of the other Democratic candidates. I unfortunately was out of town, got into town right at the end of it, but I was able to listen to it on the student radio station KVSC.
Yeah.
They did a nice streaming of it. They had some video streaming too, a couple places, I guess.
Yeah. It was a pretty popular event. We're not going to get too deep into politics here because that's not necessarily our forte either. I did notice I was sent an invitation to this event from the Facebook group, some political group that was helping organize it. And I didn't realize before this, but there's a separate commenting thread on Facebook for people that decline the invitation. And I read that, and the very first post was from a woman who said, "I am a conservative, heard he didn't show." And there was no comma there, so I wasn't sure if it was like, "I am a conservative and I heard he didn't show," or if "I am a conservative" is supposed to be a proper noun and it's like a political... Anyway, it was very confusing because it made no sense to me that this person was declining because they heard he didn't show up, which obviously would have to be after the fact, and then... But he was, and... very confusing to me.
Yeah. I know that, like, when he came, it was all very, like, abrupt. Like, no one really knew he was coming. And then, like, Friday as I was leaving town, I was listening to the radio on my car, and they're like, "By the way, Bill Clinton's coming to town. Sunday, I think? Yeah, Sunday he's coming. Cool. Come to Atwood. Listen to him."
Yeah.
But, yeah, so... politics.
Politics are interesting. So this is coming out on Election Day.
So go vote,
well,
guys.
So most people are going to be listening to this after Election Day. So really, just don't try to vote because it's just going to be a waste of your time at this point.
Me too. Well, didn't you hear that if you're voting for your student, there was some college where a bunch of students, I can't remember if they're Republican or Democrat students, like an organization went out and sent a flyer to all the students on campus. It said, "Since you're a college student, we understand your schedule is really busy. You can vote up until Friday, so don't rush to the the booths. It's all okay. Just come on anytime to this like room and vote."
That sounds kind of...
and they got
kind
caught
of like a prank
and are
to me.
Like in big trouble.
That sounds kind of like a prank to me because it's on a campus.
Yeah.
That's a really serious issue, and actually there are a lot of places that will try to target specific groups in swing areas of swing states or in smaller local elections, or also in some very notable national elections. And they'll send out notices, flyers saying, "Remember to go out and vote," and it'll have the date after, which is pretty scummy. It's a pretty scummy move.
So yeah, if you're somebody who's planning to vote after listening to this episode, you just got scummed.
Well, you'll maybe have a few hours left, depending on when you're listening. You might have a few hours left.
Yeah. Ryan Unger's gonna be like, "What? I thought I could vote on Friday.
Do we have to? Can we say people's names on this?
I don't know. All we right. should probably blurb it out.
Well, he'll be okay with it.
He will be. Right. Yeah. He'll feel famous a little bit.
Yeah. So there was something interesting that was sent to me during the week. This is actually not the newest campaign at this point, but on October 29th, it was reported in Adweek. Wieden Kennedy, which listeners may remember as being the advertising agency that did the fantastic Levi's commercials that we spent a few episodes talking about. Wieden Kennedy is also responsible for the Old Spice campaign, which most people are familiar with. And right now, they are looking for a new, you know, what are they saying? They're seeking a social strategist.
Yep.
And it's hard to tell what level they actually want this social strategist to be at, but generally they're looking for someone who can help kind of control social media to advertise for Old Spice. What they did, instead of doing a standard job posting, is make a list of challenges. And the idea is it's like an open competition. Anyone can compete. And then ideally, the people that win the most challenges will end up getting the job. I really doubt that that's actually how they're going to pick the candidate. But maybe they'll narrow it down to three people to interview after doing all of this. The challenges...
Yeah, it'd be a good way to... I'm sure it's how they'll kind of get to notice some people, and then they'll look at their resumes.
That's theoretically what it is. The challenges are generally just like do something big in social media with some weird restrictions. For example, the first one is create the best original Pinterest board dedicated to the sport of inline speed skating. And they clarify after that it's not roller hockey, but speed skating. Challenge two hits home the most for me, which is create and post an original piece of content to Reddit that then receives the most upvotes in a single week. There have been some interesting articles that I found on Hacker News, actually, about creating content for Reddit and Hacker News and how easy it is to get to the top if you game the system properly. Generally, you play on things that you know that the audience likes. So it's like pictures of cats do really well. Pictures of kind of social justice in a very... social justice not being like community building and providing for underprivileged people, but like people taking justice into their own hands in the social setting. Like notes on car windshields is a big one, where it's like, I saw someone smashing into your car, but I wrote down their license plate before they drove off. You should go get that sucker. Those are really popular, things like that. It's really, really simplified. And then the list from Wieden Kennedy goes on. Upload the most pictures of your armpits to Instagram during the course of this challenge. The pictures must have your face in them to verify your identity and include the hashtag my armpits, or rather my pits. So like you said that the idea here is that maybe they're going to notice more people, or they're going to use this to notice people that are really good, and then they'll help narrow down candidates.
I also think that what they get when they do something like this is they're going to pull from kind of the people, the ringers, kind of the guys who don't have a history in doing this the way that everyone else does it. You know, they'll start getting the younger, kind of more creative people who utilize social media, you know?
The idea here is that they could potentially discover someone that has a terrible resume for the job, but is actually really well suited.
Or no resume.
Really. Yeah, no resume. Someone who has never worked in advertising before, or someone who hasn't gone to school for it, but understands how to control social media. And I say control social media because that's clearly their intent with this. I don't really like this. Yeah. I don't really like this at all. And I was thinking about it, and I talked to some friends about it, because it's partially, it seems like making people do work before they can, do spec work or do free work. And I know that we talked earlier about how in a lot of positions that I applied for as a designer, I would go in and interview, and then they'd give me like a design challenge. And sometimes it'd be a few hours or a few days of work that I would do to kind of show how I would solve the problems. And
yeah,
I think this is different from that because this seems, well, that seems like part of an interview process and a part of a way of discovering how people think. And then this is kind of different from that because it's not really structured in the same way. And the vast majority of people that do this are not going to be noticed or recognized for their work. So they're not really going to gain anything from doing it.
Yeah.
Moreover, to me, it just seems like they're just like Wieden Kennedy is probably not very good at hiring people for jobs if they have to resort to contesty crap like this.
Yeah, it seems really gimmicky to me.
Yes, it seems very gimmicky.
And not that, you know, I wouldn't do almost anything to work for a company as cool as those guys. You know, they do a lot of good work.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's a big turnoff if this is what you have to do for them to notice you.
Yeah, and certainly if they found someone that was already doing things like this and then said, mm-hmm. oh, that person's really funny, or they've got a successful Twitter account that's nothing but their armpits, we should hire that person. That's totally different because it's like, you know, they're going after the right people with this, which are people that are successful at using social media. But
it's the motive.
Yeah, the motive of it, it's like the wrong way of going about it.
Yeah.
Also, I would be really, really wary of getting a job under these circumstances because it seems like it would be a really tenuous job situation where like I was hired because I took a lot of pictures of my armpits and I got some good content on Reddit and, you know, I did a bunch of crazy things and then that got me this job. Not necessarily my work ethic or my ability to work on a team or really to understand a brand, because a brand like Old Spice is, although not entirely the most complicated thing in the world, it's a far more complicated than pictures of your armpits being popular.
Yep.
So it seems like they're not even really hiring. If these are the things they need to hire someone, if these 10 challenges are what they want to hire someone based on, it seems like that job would not be very good because they won't actually have to have any skill, any skill in a professional sense. And so,
yeah, that's true.
At that point, like they could just pay a bunch of people to make fake Reddit accounts and upvote things, and it would be about as successful as this, and it would harm the social media sites. But they don't really care because they're advertisers, and so they don't really care about the quality of the social media sites community necessarily.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's and at the same time, what they might be doing is not using this to hire somebody at all, but simply saying that they're using this as a way to hire people and using it as a big old advertising tool for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a fair amount of traction, and it's actually producing some funny results, which is to its benefit, I guess.
Yeah, that's fun, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, moral of the story, if a job description or... Not description.
Prerequisite.
Application process seems as gimmicky as this one. Be wary.
Be wary. Be wary of it. I would say we could probably move on here. Do we have anything else to talk about? Did you just light some stuff on fire? No. I like it.
Yeah, I just need to... I'm a little bit distracted occasionally because I have some... I had sort of a smelly... Having sort of an issue with my neighbor smelling weird.
Ooh.
So I bought a bunch of candles and some essential oils.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of just burning them all right now.
Ew.
And it smells... Effect? No, it's like a really good combination I have worked out.
All right.
It's lavender and a bamboo candle with lavender oil and a hint of rosemary oil on a smaller candle. So three different things, and they're all mixing together very well. I had to throw it out there.
Next up on the Yankee Candle podcast. All right, well let's go ahead and jump into the commercial we have for this week.
Thank you. Ed, you want to kind of talk about what's going on here, or?
Yeah, it should be noted. I mean, obviously, there's very little dialogue in it.
Yeah,
and there are some text overlays to read that explain what's going on. But it's obvious to everyone that this is a commercial for James Bond.
Yeah,
James Bond is 50 years old this year.
Yeah,
is that right? Yeah. That's a long.
Wow.
That's so many movies. And I mean, this is like the 22nd, 23rd movie coming out. Skyfall is coming out this Thursday, or Friday, I guess, but Thursday night or whatever.
Friday.
Which is the third James Bond movie to have the current James Bond, Daniel Craig, in it. And I like me some Daniel Craig.
I was leery about him with his first 007.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, he did. He blew it out of the water.
I don't know know what story they're using for Skyfall at all. The first one he was in was Casino Royale, which was actually the first Ian Fleming 007 novel, and so it's the creation of James Bond. Maybe it's not the first novel, but it is the creation story. This ad is a lot of things, and when I saw it, which is one of the things, is it's a 2-minute ad, so it plays online and is going for viral marketing rather than standard commercial marketing. The ad starts with a fantastically beautiful sounding violin. It's kind of that disembodied, like super hollow sounding of you can get from a violin. I really, really like that sound and immediately associate it with other things that I like, which are some video games I've played and some of my favorite music. So it's like that alone kind of sets me up to like it from the beginning. But the purpose of this ad, and if you haven't watched it, you should maybe pause the podcast and go watch it. But the purpose of this ad is that there are people in a train station and they go up to a vending machine. And it's like a huge touchscreen Coke machine. So it's a Coca-Cola and James Bond ad. They buy a Coke and then they are presented with on the touchscreen. It says like, hey, do you want to get tickets to the James Bond premiere? Enter your name. And then it says, okay, the tickets are, you know, at this other gate across the train station and you've got 70 seconds to go get them. And then it's just a series of people running through a train station trying to get there. It's shot supposedly or perhaps really with hidden cameras and there are tons of people in the way. So you've got, you know, a guy at an orange stand that accidentally knocks down all the oranges when the people are trying to run through them. You've got people blocking the escalator. You've got, you know, a woman with a bunch of dogs on leashes that kind of get tangled up. The only real dialogue in the commercial comes from an attractive woman who approaches the people as they're running up a stair and, like, greets them by name because they entered their name into the kiosk or the Coke machine, supposedly. And then it ends with them arriving, and the sign there says, if you want the tickets, you have to sing the James Bond theme, and everyone sings it, and then, you know, tickets, happy.
Tickets. I guess, you know, the thing that I think was nice about this, whether they actually did it with, like, hidden cameras and stuff, or whether these guys knew about it going into it, doesn't really matter so much to me, because I think I really enjoyed how everyone getting in the way was so obviously, like, staged.
It's so staged.
Like, why is there a guy with an orange, like, selling oranges in a train station? And, like, the guy that knocks over all the boxes are all, like, these, like, pink matching boxes. Like, that's not in a train station.
And they're obviously empty.
Yeah, and so it's, like, this obvious obstacle course that was created for the contestants, which I think was really, really neat.
Yeah. The strangest was maybe the escalator was blocked by two guys in jogging outfits that were, like, jogging in the opposite direction of the up escalator, so they, like, stood right at the bottom and the guy couldn't get on them. And then throughout the station there were people holding up signs, or they were actually iPads with the amount of time left on the clock. There were people playing the James Bond theme throughout it, so, you know, the violin player started the theme as the people were entering their information in the Coke machine. There's an a cappella group and a trumpet player, and it seems like the sort of thing that would be extremely fun to participate in.
Yeah.
But
plus, if the end result is premiere tickets to James Bond.
Yeah. The question is any of it real? Is there any element of this being real? The perception, if you don't think about it at all, or the perception they're trying to push, is that these random people went to buy a Coke and instead became James Bond for 70 seconds.
Yeah.
There's obviously a lot of skepticism on the internet, and I tried to do some research. Advertising agency hadn't said whether it's real or not. So there are a range of opinions that I've found. The majority of them seem to be that it's totally and completely fake, and everyone in it is an actor, including the people who feigned surprise and then ran through the station.
Yep. I would say that's kind of what I thought of right away when I watched it. The one reason, and I have to tread lightly in how I say this so I don't seem like a dickhead.
Okay.
The one reason I think that it wasn't staged was that it was all, like, young, fit males. And I feel like if they were going to, like, select actors to do it, they would have had a more diversity in the actors.
See, this is the opposite of a lot of the opinions I read online, and I hadn't thought about it.
Because, like, I feel like if you're going to pay actors, like, you'd at least pay one actress. So people aren't like, why are there only men getting free tickets to 007?
The reason is,
it's like something where it involves, you know, like these guys are all like super fit, could easily run through, like you don't see a chubby guy, you know?
Well,
I'm not out there running.
Yeah, you would be able to do it too, though, because you actually can run very fast. I would not be able to do it because I can't run very fast. And I'd get like halfway and be like, you know what? I'll just wait a week and buy my own tickets.
yeah.
So
I'm busy that night anyway, so I can't go.
It was suggested in a lot of places that the reason, or one of the main reasons this was staged, was that everyone who does it is like this very attractive young guy. And if it were real, it wouldn't just be attractive young people. It would, you know, it'd be a range. But I think that makes some sense in favor of some of it being real, is that they maybe recorded several people doing it, and they only picked three or four people to actually clip into the commercial. And
yeah,
one, that's not a huge enough group that it really should be representative of whatever. I mean, this is in London, so whatever the ratio of men to women and people in minority groups are in the city, it's such a small amount that it's not fair to think that it should be, you know, totally representative. And also,
no.
It does make some sense that young, attractive people that are very physically fit are also the people that will make an interesting video of running through a train station and dodging obstacles. Then
also, I think that setting this up in a train station as big as this one in a large city like London gets a lot of people talking. Makes it viral on the internet, but it also makes it viral, like, you know, in real life. Guys leave and they're like, dude, did you hear about the train station? If you go there, you can do this obstacle course and maybe win tickets to the 007 premiere.
So then there's another more reserved sort of assumption about reality in this, is that perhaps it is real in that these people were not actors, but it's not real in the fact that they weren't surprised by it, because it presents it as being a surprise to the people. But, you know, it's one of the main points against it is it seems like it'd be relatively dangerous to surprise people by having them run across a train station and then throw obstacles that are meant to trip them, because someone will get hurt and then you'll get sued for all of the money in the world. That's a proper noun, all of the money in the world. And I think that's pretty persuasive in the staged argument.
That does make more, like, you know, sense.
There are a few reasons that I maybe am still trying to make myself believe it's real, but a few reasons I think it could be real. Amongst them are, you've got the standard two guys carrying a gigantic sheet of glass, but it's frosted glass. It might be plexiglass, but it's probably sugar glass, the stuff that breaks really easily and can't really cut you that badly. And it's frosted, so it's like more visible, and there's a gigantic X painted, like taped on it with you know, tape or paint or whatever, which makes it seem like lawyers were like, oh, no, it's too dangerous to use glass. You need to use this. That's more obvious, so people won't try to crash through it and get hurt. That and sort of the nature of it makes me think that it's also possible that The people participating in this knew they were participating in something that either took athleticism or was going to be on TV or could possibly be dangerous, and had already signed waivers before they went up to buy the Coca-Cola. So it's possible that like they were walking through the train station, someone said, "Hey, we're filming a commercial for Coke. What we want is for you to just go up and buy a Coke at this machine. We're just trying to get real people that buy a Coke. But you need to sign this waiver beforehand, blah, blah, blah. You need to be, if you get hurt." And presumably that means, like, if the Coke machine falls and kills you, you can't sue us, which would be a pretty standard waiver at any point.
Yeah, for any commercial.
Yeah. People might be willing to sign that and participate, and then they might realize, oh, I get a, you know, like, they see it and then they run. Or maybe they're said, we have an obstacle course, and the first thing in the obstacle course is to buy a Coke. That's all totally... So it's within the realm of possibility to me that the people doing this were not actors, but were expected...
Real people.
Yeah, were real people, and were expecting or expected to be able to go through these mildly dangerous situations.
Yeah.
My reasoning for that also
is... I think, too, if they were actors, they would have done it more violently.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Like, they would have smashed the glass and, like, you know, kicked over the boxes. But, like, they were all really, like, courteous of people, like, because they weren't sure, like, is this part of the obstacle course or is this just a lady in the train station?
Like, are these dogs real should I just step all over them? Like, the reasoning for this is that I'm pretty sure that all of reality television is, like, mostly staged. But a lot of people go into different different shows thinking the circumstances are different from what they actually are. There's that show that used to be on MTV, and it was like a dating show, except instead of interviewing the candidates, like three guys would be, you know, in a production van, and then the prospective girl date, instead of like asking them questions, would go through their bedrooms and like look through all their stuff to see who was the grossest. And I read an interesting story about that a long time ago that was about how the people that were on it, obviously, like, if you knew your bedroom was going to be searched, you could stage it and put out, like, Chaucer and nice wine and, like, stacks of money. She'd be like, oh, I want to date this guy.
Yeah.
But what they did was they sent in audition tapes for a reality show or some other game show. And then they were told, like, yeah, you're going to be on, you know, random news show number 74. And we're going to film on this day, fill out the paperwork, all of these things. And then... they get grabbed and taken, you know, and like, actually, you're on this whatever popular dating show that people have heard of. That way people are prepared to be on television, but they don't know what's going to happen. And some of the surprise is real and the situation is real. I know that same thing happens with the terrible show Pimp My Ride, where they steal people's cars and then like ruin them by painting them and adding tons of TVs and like, just
I'll tell you something. Mm-hmm. There is no reality TV show I tried harder to get on than Pimp My Ride.
Really?
Yeah, I had such a terrible car.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It would be totally fun to have that, but it's a stupid thing and the car would be stupid.
Oh, it would be so impractical. I'd feel so embarrassed like driving around a Honda Accord that had like a garden in the back of it and like a smoothie maker on the front.
Yeah,
you know,
I've only seen a few episodes of that. One of them was like the guy, they put in like four televisions in this guy's car, and it's like that's just impractical. And I've always wanted a car. They took a
pickup truck, and they put like a huge big screen TV in the back end of the pickup truck.
Oh yeah,
and then made it so it could like lift up.
Yeah,
but it couldn't lift to a full 90 degrees.
Oh.
And the idea was that you could like lift it up and watch a movie in your yard.
Oh.
And all these speakers, and it's like, dude, I would totally call the cops if my neighbor had his, like, and plus, like, who would want a pickup truck that you could not put anything in the back of?
Because there's a gigantic TV in it, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be so pissed.
Actually, Tom, I think a lot of people that drive pickup trucks don't ever put anything in the back of them, but that's beside
the
point.
They don't.
One of the episodes I saw, they always try to, like, tie it into something the person cares about, and so they're, like, digging through his car, and they find, like, a broken, like, ceramic mug, and they're like, oh, where's this from? He's like, oh, my girlfriend and I took a pottery class a while ago. And it was obvious that it was like a date sort of thing where you go for like one night and like make one thing, or maybe it's like a 3-week thing or whatever. And then they just spun it and tried to make it in like, this guy is super into pottery, so they put like a spinning wheel in his passenger seat and like all this crazy. It's like, that's just, no part of that is at all associated.
Plus, where are you gonna fire that thing?
Yeah,
they put a kiln in the back,
put it in the engine bay.
Yeah.
So it's possible. Although, it's possible that this James Bond ad is mostly staged, and it's also possible that it's entirely staged. Either way, I think it's a very successful, fun ad because it gives the energy of James Bond and makes it seem fun and real and possible. And in some sort of weird way, I think everyone's dreamed of being a super spy that has to run through a train station and tackle somebody and save the day.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like 80% of what the people were doing here, was running through a train station and trying to be really cool.
With James Bond music playing in the background and like obviously a lot of people watching them, which is exciting.
It raises an interesting question, or an interesting point, in that viral marketing can have too much glitz, which then harms believability.
That's very true.
I think that's bled into all forms of commercial advertising, where things need to look somewhat fake or somewhat real, and they need to have some sort of lack of polish so that it seems believable. Because if this had been perfect, if these guys were like jumping around and doing rolls and like breaking through the glass and being crazy, nobody would believe that it was real. Even if it was totally real, everyone would say like, this is, you know, it's like it would turn us off because it would seem fake. And that kind of is an interesting thing to me, because I think they did a good job of making things look kind of unprofessional in this, which then again means that maybe it's like Double Reverse, and they knew that it needed to look unprofessional, so they tried to make it unprofessional.
There's that other ad we have that sort of speaks to this idea of this viral marketing level of quality.
Yeah, we're not going to play this ad because there's not much to play here, but there's going to be a link to it in our show notes, which you can find at verbmill.net. This is a flash mob. It's one of the right around when flash mobs were becoming really, really popular, which is like 2007 to 2010, or as I should say, 2007 to 2010, depending on...
You do have an issue with saying 2010. I forgot about that.
No, 2010 is all right. 2010 is better.
Is it?
2010 is the worst. The problem is that fewer syllables are what we want. All right. If we don't get in the habit of saying 20 whatever, it's going to be another 100 years of saying 2034. That's too many syllables. All right. I don't have time for that. 2034.
It's a good point. I'm going to die by 2020, so...
Yeah, well, that's possible, too. So it's in 2009, which is when flash mobs had enough mass appeal that people understood them and they were very safe and acceptable for advertising. It's a really, really well-done one. It's in a really fantastic or a really high-end clothing store, or maybe not really high-end, but a high-end clothing store in L.A. You see a couple people shopping in parachute pants, gold parachute pants, and then... Hammer Time comes on, and a couple people start dancing, and they're doing the hammer slide back and forth, and it's pretty good. And then like 100 people, all wearing bright gold parachute pants, come running in and cheering, and they all do the dance together. And then at the end, they stop and they freeze, and then they all just go cheering and running out. And there were a lot of great flash mobs happening at the time that were just people doing flash mobs for the sake of having fun. And also a lot of them were for political points, but that's a little bit different. This one was entirely an advertisement for A&E's show Hammer Time, which I assume lasted like half of an episode before it was canceled as a reality show of MC Hammer's life.
Hey man, there's a large demographic of people who are interested in Hammer Time as a TV show.
So
MC Hammer has a ton of people interested in his personal life.
So you can look at that and say I'm just going to ignore that. You can look at that and say here are advertisers kind of co-opting something that's popular to make an advertisement, and that's cheap and bad. Or you can say here's advertisers that have access to things that normal people don't, and so they're going to pay actors to do something fun, or maybe they're going to just find a bunch of people that like dancing to do something fun and point cameras at it and use that to sell their product. I really, really love the viral nature of the ad. Or rather, I really, really love the ad, and I'm okay with them trying to go for the viral nature of it, because I think that's interesting. Same thing was the Unlock 007 Coca-Cola Skyfall tie-in commercial. It's the same sort of goal, right? It's like, we're going to make something happen. We're going to put cameras on it to see what it is. We're going to edit it to make it fun. And then we're just going to release it and try to get viral advertising. And I really, really enjoy that.
Yeah, it works. I think that too often, the one issue with viral advertising is too often it, like, they cross. Like, I like that they're very, you know, like, these ads are very different from a TV ad. And it's when the viral advertisements become too much like a television ad that they start getting sort of annoying. They don't seem as real, like we talked about, that real factor. And then it just feels like YouTube's being plugged up by these rich advertisers like TV is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reminded.
And I think we're at like kind of a tipping point there where it's starting to become more just your advertisements. Like viral marketing is starting to become like other marketing.
I think people are getting better at recognizing it. Yeah. They're getting better at recognizing content that's put online, especially on social sites like YouTube and Reddit and Pinterest. They're getting good at recognizing content that's being put online for the sole purpose of advertising. And generally, anything that's posted on Reddit that has any brand in it at all or could be tied to any brand, one of the first comments is like, nice try, you know, blank marketing team. And I'm not necessarily sure that those are just snotty remarks. They might actually be people, or like, they might actually be right. They might be marketing teams. I had some other point, but I lost it.
I don't know. I can't find it over here, so.
You should look around a little bit. People are getting better at looking at ads, determining ads. Oh, yes, yes. This reminds me of a point, this discussion of viral marketing and glitz and being over the top, reminds me of a point that Mike Montero raises in his book, Design as a Job. I may be misremembering this. It might be from one of his talks that he gave about working as a designer. And one of the things he says is that when he was young, his mother, who was an immigrant, actually, he might be a first-generation immigrant too, but anyway, his mother was working as a seamstress and was tailoring clothes. And he was spending the day with her, and she had been working on a coat for a customer, and he knew the customer was going to come in, so he went and he started to pick the threads off of the coat from where, you know, she'd been sewing. And she said, no, 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 leave those on there so that when the customer comes in, they will feel more comfortable giving feedback because they will be able to see that I'm still working on this. And then he made this point that when you're doing designs, you should, I mean, like as a designer, I try to avoid using placeholder text. I try to avoid using lorem ipsum because I want to design for the actual content. But on some level, you should, you know, have visual cues to people that you're still working on what you're working on when you want actual feedback. And I think that's really similar to this, in that you need to present what you're doing as being real. And I think while you said people are getting better at recognizing viral marketing attempts, advertisers are getting better at recognizing that they need to make it seem real. And so they need to have it be sloppy in some areas or uncontrolled in some areas.
And I think that kind of ties back into where we started with that ad or that, you know, job. Offer.
The Wyden Kennedy.
And I think that in a way, maybe that's what Wyden Kennedy's looking for, is someone who is rough around the edges. Somebody that's not an advertising, marketing, educated person that can, in a way, not like, oh, they need to dumb it down, but, you know, make it more on the same level as the real content on Reddit and Pinterest and Instagram.
Yeah.
And less like the advertisement.
Yeah, that's probably what their goal is, and maybe that's noble, and maybe it will work really well. But it seems a little scummy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a commercial for Coca-Cola and James Bond. I'm really excited to see this new James Bond movie. I'm sure we're going to have to talk about it after it comes out.
Super excited. And actually, I think now is a good time to announce what's coming next week.
What's coming next week, Tom?
We're going to record our first episode where Will and I can sit right next to each other.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I know it seems like we're always sitting next to each other, but in fact, there is quite a few miles in between us.
Yeah, there are times where we are all over the globe. Mm-hmm. You don't know where we are.
Mm-hmm. Most times. But next week, we're going to be...
Kind of like Carmen Sandiego.
Kind of like Carmen Sandiego. Next week, we're going to be together.
Speaking of, I need to quick go on a tangent on that. We were talking about Halloween costumes and great Halloween costumes last week.
Yep.
There was one on Wednesday night. I went with some friends and we were hanging out at our student gallery. And someone said, "Where's Felicity? I thought she was coming out tonight." And I was like, "Yeah, I thought she was." And someone was like, "She even had a costume ready." And I was like, "What?" And like, "Yeah, she told us all she was coming as Carmen Sandiego."
Aha.
And so this girl told everyone she was going as Carmen Sandiego and then didn't show up the whole night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if that was intended. I think it was. And that's genius.
Yeah.
Tell like three people that you're going as Carmen Sandiego, then don't show up at the party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Genius costume.
I like it.
So yeah, Will and I will be together next week. Moral of the story.
Yeah. So Tom and I are going to be together next week recording an episode. And we also will have a very special announcement at the end of that episode. So make sure you tune in next week to the White Horse Courier. We'll also put the news up on verbmill.net, which is our website, of course. This has been the White Horse Courier. Everyone should go out and vote if it's still the day this episode came out and your polling places are still open and you're in the United States and you care about politics.
And you make over $200,000 and you are a... I'm just kidding. Everyone, get out and vote.
And we'll talk to you next week. I'm Will, and you can find me on Twitter at Will Imholt.
And I'm Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Tom Wixo. Talk to you next week.
Do you like my face? It's 30 years new. I can grow a beard in a week, and mustaches are cool. Do you like my dog? He's little and he's dumb. I know he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he'll fill you up with love. So go ahead and smile for me. Go ahead and laugh. 'Cause I know something that you don't know. Wait, no, maybe I don't. Oh, girl, we can rock and roll all night. And in the morning, I kiss and hug and hold you tight. Because I love you, and everything will work out fine. And I'm so happy, you're so happy, I stopped asking why. Do you like my house? Within these walls I write. I know this little place ain't that much, but it's warm and it's dry. Do you like my guitar, baby? I can barely make it talk. Is it enough just to drive you crazy when I'm strumming it strong? So go ahead and smile for me. Go ahead and laugh. 'Cause I know something that you don't know. Wait, no, maybe I don't. Oh, girl, we can rock and roll all night. And in the morning, I kiss and hug and hold you tight. Because I love you, and everything will work out fine. And I'm so happy, you're so happy, I stopped asking why. Do you like when I'm naughty? Do you like my mind? Do you like my intellectual affection for these scribble little secretive rhymes? Do you like my heart? beaten just for you. And there ain't nothing in this whole wide world that we can't do. Oh, girl, we can rock and roll all night and in the morning. I kiss and hug and hold you tight because I love you. And everything will work out fine. And I'm so happy, you're so happy. I stopped asking why. And this silly little love song makes my manhood cry. But it's the absolute truth, just look into my eyes.